Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth knows so many of us have been praying about a difficult situation for years.
And sometimes what we think we need is for the pressure to be off, for the problem to be solved, for there to be no more difficulty. But God may know that what we really need is to experience His grace and His wholeness in our lives in the midst of the problem or the difficulty.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, co-author of Seeking Him. For Tuesday, August 5th, I'm Dana Gresh. Yesterday, Nancy began a series called His Healing Touch. And if you've been struggling with an unmet need for a long time, I pray you'll get amazing perspective this week. Let's listen.
It's always a joy for me to hear from women who have been set free by the power of God's truth. And I rejoice when I receive letters like these. A woman who said, God set me free from hatred I've had in my heart since I was 9 years old. I'm 40 now. He set me free. From 9 to 40, that's a long time to live with hatred in your heart. But aren't you glad that we have a God who, whether at 9 or 40, can get us to the truth? His name is Jesus, and can set us free. Well, we're talking about a woman this week who had a long-term issue. It was a physical issue, but it had affected her in her relationships, emotionally. She had lost hope. And she's not unlike many of us in this room, perhaps, and those that we know and love who have lived with perhaps a chronic physical illness that affects us then in realms of our spirit and our emotions, because you can't separate all that. If you feel sick for 12 years, that's going to affect you in your emotions and in your relationship with the Lord and with others. But then there are others of us who maybe it's not been a chronic physical illness, but it's been a chronic heart illness, a sin issue, an issue of bitterness or unforgiveness or anger that we've held on to perhaps for years, and we've come to be identified by that illness. That's come to say who we are. And we find that we've lost hope. There's no solution. We see that this woman in Mark chapter 5 had been to many doctors. She had suffered many things at the hands of those doctors. They had taken all her money. She had no resources left. She was no better. She was only worse. And then we saw yesterday that she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. Let me say, by the way, that there may be someone in your life who is this woman. It may not be you at this moment, but maybe somebody that you know and love. And it may be that you're the one who can tell them about Jesus and help point them to one who can do for them what Jesus does for this woman in Mark chapter 5. Now we're picking up in verse 27 of Mark's Gospel chapter 5. The scripture says that when the woman heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. She came behind him. Now, we've seen that there's a crowd pressing in on Jesus. There's a crowd thronging him. So she apparently has had to fight her way through this crowd to make her way to Jesus. Here's a woman who is an untouchable. And anybody who knows her and knows about her situation knows that based on the Old Testament law, because of this blood disorder that she has, she's defiled, she's ceremonially unclean. If anyone so much as touches her or even anything that she's wearing, they will be defiled. She has to risk whatever they may think, whatever they may know about her, to make her way through that crowd to Jesus. And it's interesting to me, this little detail, that she came behind him in the crowd. Why? Well, Scripture doesn't tell us, but maybe we can put ourselves in that woman's sandals and get a sense of what she may have been feeling. I wonder if she felt unworthy to look Jesus in the face. Maybe she'd believed all those lies all these years that other people had told her about herself. You're scum. You're not worth anything. And maybe she assumed Jesus would feel the same way. Maybe she was ashamed to face him. Maybe she was afraid to face him, afraid that if he saw her and knew about her condition, that he would reject her as so many others had and send her away. She was unclean. I wonder if she was afraid that he would be angry if she touched him. Here's the pure Son of God. And now this unclean woman is going to touch him. See, she didn't really know him, and she may have had some doubts or some questions about how he would treat her. But it's apparent that she had a sense of unworthiness to approach him. So she came behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. For she said in verse 28, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." That's a statement of faith coming from a woman who's been so disappointed over so many years by so many other so-called professionals. "If I could just touch his clothes," she says, "I know that I will be made well." Now, the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 9 tells us that not only she touched his clothes, but that she touched the hem of his garment. Why the hem? How did this woman get through that crowd? When she got to Jesus, was she crawling? I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us, but I get a picture of a woman who's desperate, so desperate that she would crawl, just to reach out in a humbling position to touch the hem of his garment. You see, for this woman who tried everything, she had nothing to lose. What did it matter? She was willing to risk the rejection in this act of desperation. She knew she had no money. She knew she had nothing to pay him. What she may or may not have known about Jesus is that our inability to pay is what makes us candidates for his grace. When we have nothing to offer him, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." She needed to be reminded that Jesus gives his grace to those who have nothing to offer him in return. And in faith, she said, "If I can just touch his garment, just a touch, I will be made well." That word "well" is a word from which we get our word hygiene. It means whole, clean. Somehow in her heart, faith had been ignited, and it's God who puts that faith in our hearts to believe that if she could just get to Jesus, she would be made clean. And then verse 29 tells us about the miracle. Immediately, I love that word. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Immediately. That's a miracle. After 12 years of going to doctor after doctor, counselor after counselor, therapist after therapist, drug after drug, treatment after treatment, remedy after remedy, and now immediately, the fountain of her blood is dried up and she's whole. How long did this encounter take? Not long. I can just picture in today's way of thinking, someone thinking in that day, "Well, she can get help, but she'll have to come to Jesus every week for a year or so." And Jesus wants us to come to him not only every week, but every day and moment by moment. But there are moments in our lives when Jesus touches us and we reach out and touch him. By faith in his word and faith in his power, he sometimes does, and he certainly can, render an immediate transformation. That isn't to say that there wasn't a process still needed in this woman's life. There were years of baggage she was going to have to deal with. And as we come to Jesus and we reach out and we touch him and we're transfigured and transformed by his grace, there may still be a process needed in our lives. The Bible calls that process sanctification. It's a process by which we learn how to live out the healing and the wholeness that Jesus has brought to our spirits. But I want us to be reminded, and we need to hear today, that Jesus has the ability and the power to do in a moment of time what everyone else says will take a lifetime. That in touching him, in reaching out to him and his word and his truth, there is power to set us free from issues that have been in our lives for years. And what was it that happened immediately? The scripture says the fountain of her blood was dried up. You notice Jesus didn't just give this woman a Band-Aid, as we so often do. Sometimes that's all we know how to do for people who are really hurting. He didn't give her a temporary fix, a temporary solution. "Go home and take this pill and come back and see me in 6 months and tell me if it's better." Jesus went to the root of her issue, to the heart of her problem, to the source of her bleeding. That word, the fountain of her blood, it speaks of like being the origin of a spring, the starting place, the root, the heart of the matter. And that's what Jesus does that other people cannot do for us. No matter how professional they may be, Jesus gets at the root of the matter. He gets at the heart of the issue, the heart of why we've been living in this hatred or this rage or this anger or this bitterness or this unresolved conflict for years. He doesn't just put a Band-Aid on. He gets at the heart of the matter. We tend to deal with symptoms. And that's why we have to keep going back for more of the world's answers and more of the world's solutions. Because if they don't get to the heart of the matter, if they don't get to the root of the issue that's caused that bleeding internally in our soul, then they're not going to be of lasting help. You see, Jesus cares more about getting to the source of our wounds than just bandaging them up. Today, many people are just helping people feel better. And my question is, what good is it if I help somebody feel better if that person isn't better, if there's not been a change in their life? You see, Jesus knows that the core issue of my life and of yours is not those symptoms of woundedness, as real as they are. Jesus knows that the core issue is my sinfulness, my separation from God. And that when that issue is addressed, that there will be healing in other areas of my life. The scripture says she knew that she was healed. She knew it experientially. She was sure in herself that having touched Jesus, that now she was healed. And I think of women who've written to tell me about how they've had this kind of life-changing encounter with Jesus. One woman said, "I was able to let go of a lifetime of hatred and forgive my uncle who molested me as a very young child. I'm now 53 years old." A touch in the presence of Christ and a lifetime of hatred released. One woman said, "God helped me free my dad, who I've kept in prison for at least 25 years, by consciously forgiving him. My depression has lifted today." That flow of blood that this woman experienced pictures in our lives so many of the internal issues caused by that heart issue of sin. And in many cases, it's isolated us. It's separated us from God and from others. So many of us have tried to get help, but have never really been made better because we've been dealing with symptoms, not with roots. If we find ourselves in a situation like that, we really have three options. We can keep running around looking for another treatment. And some of us, by the way, would rather keep going to the world's professionals because maybe we don't really want to get well. You know, when you've lived with this kind of issue for 12 years or maybe longer, that becomes your identity. And perhaps there are those who have found security in being a sick person. And so they're content to just keep running around looking for one more treatment. There are others, and perhaps I'm looking into the eyes of some in this room, who have given up. You're just resolved to live with the problem. You maybe even become numb. You're accustomed to it. You adapt to it, but you've given up. Well, this woman didn't do either. She took the third option, and it's the option that's offered to you today. She said, "I'm going to get to Jesus. I'm going to press through the crowd." So some would think, "He won't have time for you. There's an important man named Jairus who's got an emergency here." But Jesus was willing to stop for this woman, and he will stop for you. The key is that you get to Jesus. He specializes in the impossible. You do not have to keep living in that condition that you've lived with all these years. You don't have to. You can get free from the internal rage, the bondage, the emotional bondage, the addictions. You can be set free by the grace of Christ. So exercise faith in his power. Reach out and say, "Jesus, you are my only hope. I need you. I have no hope, no solution, nowhere to turn but to you. I've tried everything else, but now I'm asking you, will you heal me?" Now, verse 30 tells us that Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. Now, this doesn't mean that he had any less power after helping this woman than he did before, but he knew that the power to heal this woman was not actually in her touch. And it was not anything mystical about his garments. It was the power of God within him because Jesus was God. Jesus is God. And what had healed this woman was the power of God, the greatest power in all the universe. In fact, it's the same power that spoke the word and created this universe. All the worlds came into being by his power. I was out walking this morning, and just as the sun was beginning to come up, enjoying and appreciating the beauty of God's creation, and as I contemplated the power of God in creating this world, you know, my little issues, my little world, my little problems didn't all seem so major anymore. When I get to know God in the context of his great power, Jesus knew that power had gone out of him and that this power is what had made this woman whole. The power of God was dispensed by Jesus according to his sovereign pleasure, his sovereign will, according to what he wanted to do. This woman really had very little to do with her own healing. She exercised faith. She reached out of her desperation. She believed that he could heal her, but she could not heal herself. She had an incurable illness. And the issues of our hearts are incurable. We cannot fix them ourselves. Only Jesus and his power can do that. It's a supernatural impartation of his power that is what makes a difference in our lives. That's how we experience life, eternal life, and cleansing and forgiveness and wholeness and healing for the issues of our hearts. It was not her touch, but his power that healed. Let me just say as an insert here, this woman experienced immediate physical healing. There are times when God does not choose in his sovereignty to dispense physical healing. I think of the Apostle Paul who had some sort of physical ailment. And it's not that he didn't pray about it. It's not that he didn't want to be healed. It's something that was a great burden to him. But three times, 2 Corinthians tells us, he cried out to the Lord, please heal me of this affliction. And God, in that case, chose not to heal the Apostle Paul. But God said, I'll give you what you really need, which is my grace to walk through this affliction. I had a woman say to me on one of the breaks earlier, she said, you know, I've had some physical illnesses. She said, I've had two brain tumors. But she said, I would have to look back on those events, those times in my life, and say they were actually a blessing. She was saying, in a sense, I wouldn't ask God to take it away now that I've experienced the relationship with him and his grace that has come to me as a result of having walked through those physical difficulties. The Lord knows exactly what it is that you and I really need. And sometimes what we think we need is for the pressure to be off, for the problem to be solved, for there to be no more difficulty. But God may know that what we really need is to experience his grace and his wholeness in our lives in the midst of the problem or the difficulty. Now Jesus says, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? The disciple said to him, verse 31, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? I mean, everybody's touching you. There are people all around touching you. But isn't it interesting that Jesus knew how to distinguish between many people in that crowd who were just part of the religious crowd pressing around him and the one person who was coming in faith, expecting him to do something about her issue? And I think of all the people who come to church, your church and mine, on Sunday morning. They're pressing in. They're doing their religious thing. But Jesus knows that there's someone in that crowd who's serious about encountering him, who's serious about getting the issues of their heart dealt with. And that's why Jesus singles out this woman. Now, when Jesus says, who touched my clothes, it's obvious that he's not asking out of ignorance. He was God. He knew who had touched his clothes. So why is he asking this, I think perhaps very timid scared woman to identify herself? Why is he going to put her on the spot and make her come up to the microphone and tell her story? Well, there could be a number of reasons. I think one obvious reason is that he knew it was important for this woman to make a public confession of what had been a very private matter in her life. But the Word of God says that we must not only believe in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God and that He is our means of salvation, but we must also confess it with our mouths. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, ashamed to confess me publicly, I will be ashamed of you. This woman needed to say publicly what it was that God had done for her. She needed an opportunity to express her faith, to praise God for what had happened in her life. Jesus wasn't going to let this woman hide. Her faith had to be confessed openly. And then I think that Jesus wanted a personal relationship with this woman. He didn't want her to just pass by him in the night and just be another statistic of just one more person he had healed. I think he was saying, I healed you for a relationship. I'm not going to let you just go and go on with your life as it was. I want to know you, and I want you to know me. And then I think there's something else important that probably happened when Jesus made this woman come forward and tell the truth about what had happened. You see, after 12 years of living with this kind of illness and this kind of rejection and isolation, chances are that there were some old tapes still playing in this woman's mind. You see, she could have been healed, but gone home and continued to hear those tapes playing that said, unclean, 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 unclean. I think Jesus knew that by her coming forward and telling her story, that he was going to push the stop button on that recorder and put in a new tape that said, you're clean, you're clean, you're clean. You see, she had to now begin the process of thinking a new way about who she was. Reminds me of that passage in 1 Corinthians 6 where the Apostle Paul lists all sorts of sins, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves. He says, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But he says, that's not who you are any longer. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're a new person. Well, verse 32 tells us that as he was looking for this woman, Jesus looked around. That word means he was looking penetratingly. He was determined to identify this woman and have her identify herself. And then verse 33 says, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Luke's gospel says it this way, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. You know, you may have experienced God's saving grace in your life. You may have experienced deliverance from bitterness, from some particular sin issue in your life, but you're not really free until you can confess it before the Lord and in the presence of others. Until you can say, this is my testimony. Here's where I was. Here's what was the issue in my life. And here's what God has done for me. You see, those past failures that we tend to want to hide and cover and not have anybody know about, those actually can become a very important part of our life message.
That's Nancy DeMoss Waldmuth in our series, His Healing Touch. In her teaching today, Nancy spoke to the woman who's desperate. She sought healing. She spent all her resources and energy only to be left hurting and disappointed. Does this sound familiar? Maybe you're desperate for healing too. We saw today that true healing, the kind that lasts, is found in Jesus. To help you draw near to him in faith, we're making available a devotional by Pastor Paul Touches. It's called A Small Book for the Hurting Heart, and it contains 50 brief readings to help you find encouragement and healing. This resource is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts in August. To give, visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959, and be sure to ask for A Small Book for the Hurting Heart when you do. Tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts, we're probing even deeper because physical healing isn't our deepest need. Nancy will explain. And hey, before we're done, how could you share your hope in Christ with others today? Nancy's back with some questions to help you think that through.
What has Jesus done for you? Has he saved you from sin? Has he saved you from yourself? Has he delivered you from sinful habits and bondages? Think back about what Jesus has done for you over the course of your knowing him. And then let me ask you this question. Are you still hiding in the crowd? Or are you willing to come forward publicly to testify and say, I praise God, this is what he has done for me.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.